Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, everyone. Y'all, I am so sorry. I had some doggone technical difficulties tonight. I could not log on this line for nothing in the world. That means the word must gonna be fire. I promise you I couldn't log on. But I bless God for everyone who's logged on the line on tonight. Let me do a line check here. Elder Katrina, are you with us?
I am here. Praise God.
God bless you, sis. Listen, let me go ahead and get it. Listen, guys, I am so sorry. I started off a little late on this morning, this afternoon, everyone. I had some technical difficulties, but we're on the line and we're ready and we're about to get started. Good afternoon again. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ignite. This is our weekly Bible study hosted by Diamond in the Rough Ministries. This is Apostle Lakeisha Grant, and I am the founder and the senior pastor here at Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and we are certainly glad that you have decided to share your time with us on this afternoon. We know that this is going to be an awesome time in the Lord because of the technical difficulties that, again, I seem to have had trying to get started on the line on this afternoon. But listen, I pray that everyone has had a marvelous week and that the Lord has been blessing you tremendously. If this is your first time joining us for our Bible study or for any, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of a Diamond in the Rough Ministries, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.ditrministries.com, and just find out all kinds of information about A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, who we are, who I am, and what we stand for. Well, I am not going to belabor our time on this afternoon. We have a wonderful guest that's going to bless us with her ministry on today. We have Elder Katrina Lyons. She is a sister that I met a couple of years ago at a conference, and we have had the opportunity to stay connected from then until now. Amen. She is an authentic sister, and I'm grateful to be able to be a part of her life and be able to share in her ministry. I am going to move out of the way on this afternoon and give her the space to be able to share with the Lord. Has for her to share with us on this afternoon. But if this is your first time meeting Elder Katrina, please know that you are in for a treat. Amen. For those of you all who have joined on the line and who have been following Elder Katrina, amen, pray and encourage her as the Lord allows her to release this word that she's releasing on tonight. And we just speak the blessings of the Lord to be upon you even now, Elder Katrina, that you will go in power, that you will go in God's peace, and you will do what God is sanction and ordain you to do on this line on tonight. God bless you, sis, and I'm moving out of the way. The line is yours.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Apostle, for allowing me the opportunity to share with all of you tonight that in which the Lord has shared with me. I am so very grateful. And as Apostle said, we met a few years ago and ousted, and my baby has leaped in her presence even when we converse over the phone. I'm just always blessed by speaking with her. It's a great woman of God. So I'm excited about being on the line tonight. I'm going to do my best to take my time and teach a little bit. But I do feel the presence of the Lord even now as I was preparing the word that he wanted me to deliver on tonight. I pray that this word encourages you and just blesses you and just lets you know that you can go on, you can make it. There is no time to quit. There is no time to throw in the towel. There is no time to retreat or get slothful or lazy, because God is doing exactly what he promised he will do. So I'm so grateful. We're going to look tonight. We're going to go to the book of Judges tonight. We're going to go to Judges And we're going to look at the seventh chapter. I was kind of wrestling with the verses that I wanted to read, but we have a little time tonight, so I'm going to see what verses are conducive for what we'll teach tonight. But we're going to go to Judges, the seventh chapter, and we're going to begin at the first verse, Judges 7. You have your Bibles turned with me there. Let's see what the Lord is going to say tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Before we begin, let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time and this hour. We thank you for this time of Bible study, this time that we're able to dig into your word and get to know you even the more. We pray now, oh God, that you will forgive each and every one of us for every sin, every thought, word, or deed that may have been unpleasing in your sight. We pray, oh God, that you will bless us and keep us, even as we are on this call tonight, even as we are in Bible study tonight. We pray now that you would unclog our ears that we may hear, that you would take the scales off our eyes that we may see, that you would soften our hearts that we may feel your touch and your presence tonight. We love you. We pray now that the word would come forth with power, with hope, with love, and with conviction. We pray for eternal change after receiving the word on tonight. Oh God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, Judges 7, the Bible says in the first verse, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Wow. 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But look what God says. He says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Come on, wherever you ought to say still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon in verse 7, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, my God, let all the other people go, every man to his place. I'm going to stop there tonight, and I just want to talk tonight from the subject, the fight has already been fixed. The fight has already been fixed. Even as I was preparing to share with you all on tonight, I begin to see many persons in the body of Christ in a fight, in a battle, in a war, in a tug of war, in a tug of war with their flesh, in a tug of war in relationships, in a tug of war with situations on their job, in a tug of war with health issues, in a tug of war with financial
financial situations in a tug of war with their minds. I saw many of the body of Christ battling with their own minds and battling with their bodies and battling with things and circumstances within themselves. And God says, I want you to tell the people that the fight is already fixed. Clued, I'm going to show you how the fight has already been fixed. But first, I want you to know tonight that if you decide that you are going to say yes to God, and if you decide that you, as a believer, are going to say yes to his will and yes to his way, and when you decide that you are going to walk uprightly before God and you're going to choose to walk in the way that the Lord has called you to, then what you first must understand is that there will be some fighting involved. There will be some battles involved. There will be some trials involved, because in order for you to live a successful life as a believer, you have to learn how to fight. Now, understand this, that whenever there is a fight, that you have an opponent. You're not fighting by yourself, but there is an opponent. There is some sort of opposition. There is something or somebody that you have to fight against. But God said to me that oftentimes we don't study our opponents. And so we go into our fights blind. We go into our fights without knowledge. We go into our fights blinded by the very thing that's opposing us. And when we don't have information and when we're not knowledgeable about what and whom we are fighting, then it's hard for us to win a battle against something that we don't understand. So I want you to understand this tonight, that you have to understand, people of God, exactly what it is and who it is you're fighting. If you're fighting the battle in your mind, you have to first understand what that battle in your mind is. If you're fighting health issues, you've got to begin to research that thing and find out what it is that's attacking your body. If you're fighting financial situations, you've got to dig deep into that thing and find out how you got where you got and how you're going to get out of where you are. And so you have to understand your opponent before you go into the fight and before you go into the battle. And so here now we have in this text, in Judges, the 7th chapter, we have Gideon, who is preparing to fight. He is preparing for battle. But if you read in the earlier chapters, he understands the Midianites. He understands exactly who it is that he is fighting. And one of the main things that he understands about this fight is that this fight is bigger than him. This fight is bigger than him. And oftentimes, most times, majority of the times, any fight that we face, it always looks bigger than us. Come here, David. You remember the story of David and Goliath and how Goliath the giant looked bigger than David. You remember how it was that everybody else was scared to fight Goliath. They were scared by his size. They were intimidated by the size of the giant. But David said, wait a minute, I'm not intimidated by his size. Although he's bigger than me, I believe that I could win the fight. And so here it is now. Oftentimes your fight, your struggle, your battle, your issue, your circumstance, your situation, it will always look like it's bigger than you. It will always look like it's more than you can bear. It will always feel like it's more than you can bear. It's more than you can carry. It's more than you can handle. It's more than what you can put up with. But that is the enemy's job, to make you feel like you are defeated. But the devil is a liar tonight. I am here tonight to let you know that our God is an undefeated champion, and that makes us undefeated champions. We are joint heirs with the King of God. And so therefore, if our God is a winner, we also are a winner. And so although the situation, although the fight, although the problem may look like it has you, like it's bigger than you, it may even seem like in this season of your life that the problem is winning. But I declare to you tonight that you are winning and that you are bigger than the situation you are facing. I love that story of David and Goliath and how it was everybody else was intimidated by his size. Don't let the enemy intimidate you by the size of the problem you're facing. Don't let him intimidate you because your bills outweigh your paycheck. Don't let him on the north side of them by the hill of More in the valley. Now, I want you to note this about this text is that Gideon, he got up early. He got up early. Come on, wherever you are, you ought to say he got up early. And so whenever my grandmother used to say the early bird gets the worm. And so what happens here is that we need some believers who will get up early in the morning, who will be on that watch and will say, let me tackle the day before the enemy tries to get started. We need some believers who will get up early and who will stand on the wall and prepare for the battle. See, understand this, oh my God, even as it relates to your church and your pastor, we look for the leaders. We look for the believers. We look for the intercessors to be the first persons at the church. We look for the believers to be the ones who are standing on the wall, who get up early and say, guess what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to declare some things into the atmosphere. I'm going to prepare before the enemy comes and try to shift this day. And if we're going to declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, where are the people? Where are the women of God? Where are the men of God? Where are the men of God that will get up early and will say, I'm going to prepare in prayer so that when the enemy comes, I will be strong enough to fight the battle. And so the Bible says that Gideon, he rose early and he began to prepare. He camped out beside the well of Herod. And in verse number 2, the Lord said to Gideon, he said this to him, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. In other words, what he was saying was that you have too many people with you for me to allow you to win this battle, to win this fight. He says, lest Israel claim glory for itself and say, my own hand have saved me. In other words, what he was saying is this. Oh, God, I love this. He said, you got so many people with you that if I allow you to go into the battle, if I allow you to go into the fight with all of these people with you, then somebody will be able to say, it was me that won the battle. Come on, catch this. Somebody will be able to say, oh, I get the glory because I was there with you. I get the glory because I helped you. And that is what God is saying to you in this season. He says, in the next season of your life, I want to give you the testimony that it was nobody but God. In this next season of your life, I want to give you the testimony that says, to God be all the glory. But if I allow you to go into this fight, and if I allow you to be in this fight with your aunt and your uncle and your prayer partner and your sister and your brother, then somebody else will be able to steal my glory. But in order for you to have the testimony that it was nobody but God that was on my side, he said, there are some people that you're going to have to release. There are some things that you're going to have to let go. There are some issues that you are going to have to release in order for you to have that testimony. Come on, I know it's somebody tonight that says, you know what? I need to get rid of that relationship. I need to let that friendship go. I need to hang up the phone on this person. Come on, somebody. If I be honest with myself tonight, there are some relationships that I need to cut off. Oh, come on. You ought to get the gift of goodbye tonight. You ought to get the gift of no tonight and begin to declare wherever you are that it's time for me to cut them off. Cut them off. He says, it's too many people. You got too many people. I remember Abraham, when God told Abraham to leave his country, leave his familiar place, leave what he was familiar with. And he said, go to a place that I will show you. And he never told Abraham to take anybody with him, but Abraham decided to take Lot with him. And I've been talking about that wherever I've been afforded the opportunity to minister, because God has been dealing with me about sharing with the believers that when he calls you to do a thing, when he asks you to do a thing, when he leads you to do a thing, be sure you got the instructions right. the reason why we are not fulfilling assignment, the reason why we are not getting the things that we need and the things that we desire is because we picked up some things along the way. We carried some people. We carried some issues that were never intended to go with us. And God is saying, I can't bless you because you got too much stuff. I can't give this to you because you got too much junk. I can't pour new wine into old wineskins. I can't pour new wine in there because you're not empty. You're still full of the same stuff that I asked you to get rid of. And so here it is now. The Bible says that he told him, the Lord said to him, the people who are with you, is too many people with you. It's too much junk with you. It's too much. He says, if I let them stay with you, they'll get the glory. He says, but I don't want anybody else to get the glory out of your life. I want all the glory. He's a jealous God. He says, I want all the glory out of your life. The Bible says in verse 3, now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And look at this, guys. Look at this in verse number three, it says, the people who are afraid and fearful, let them turn away. The Bible says this, Apostle, and 22,000 of the people had to leave. Come on here, somebody. You telling me that 22,000 people were operating out of the spirit of fear? 22,000 people were afraid to fight a fight? Oh, my God, where are the believers who said, I'm not afraid of what's before me? Because the Bible says, if God is before me, it's more than the world against me. Come on, somebody. Where are the believers that say he's walking with me and talking with me and telling me that I'm his own? Okay, so you're telling me 22,000 people were fearful and afraid. The Bible says that those 22,000 people had to go. They returned. People of God, we are walking. I want you to know that your connections are so important. The people you're connected with, the church that you're connected with, the pastors you're connected with, the friends you're connected with, the coworkers you're connected with, all of your connections, they matter. They matter to God. Something you're connected with is why I'm delivering this word tonight. Something you're connected to, something you're connected with is fear, operating out of the spirit of fear. And I'm telling you, you don't need fear. Fear handicaps you. Fear will grip you and keep you stagnant. Fear will grip you and keep you at a stale and a molded place. So you don't need fear, and you don't need to be connected to somebody who's fearful. Let me say this. If God has called you to do a thing and called you to be a thing and called you to go to a place, and you're connected to people who are scared and you're connected to people who are afraid, how can they encourage you to move forward? When you do face a fearful point in your life, or a fearful point in your ministry, or a fearful point in your business, or a fearful point, and you're connected with people that's fearful, who's going to push you out of your fearful place? Who's going to encourage you? Who's going to pull you out of your fearful place if you're connected to those that are unfruitful and fearful as well? And so the Bible says that 22,000 people had to fall off because they were fearful and afraid. And then the Bible says, and 10,000 remained. Okay, so Gideon is like, okay, I got 10,000 people left with me. I know the Midianites, there is a lot of them. The Bible says that Gideon said the Midianites were like the sand. It was so many of them. But he says, okay, I can fight with 10,000. Let's go to verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Now, wait a minute here, Jesus. Now, wait a minute here, Lord. Now, you're sending me to fight. You're sending me to battle. God says, yes, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, and this one shall not go with you. People of God, in this hour, like I said, your connections matter. I want you to be mindful that God has the blueprint for your life. We are not even in the mindset to be able to choose what's best for us and pick who's best for us. But when you allow the Lord to be the architecture of your life, just as he's doing here in this scripture, he says, you know, bring me the people and I will test them for you. You've got to allow God to begin to pick and choose what's best for your life. I know you're used to controlling everything. I know you're used to handling everything. I know you're used to being over and in charge of everything. But I encourage you tonight that you will allow the Lord to control your the Lord. That's what Lord means. That he is the controller of your life. He's the Lord of your life. He controls your life. Right. So say, hey, now bring them to me and I will test them for you. So Gideon brought the people down to the water. I hope you're getting something tonight. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. But everyone who goes down on his knees to drink, and likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. All the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men, look what God says. Now, we got to hear what God says. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by 300 men who lapped, I will save you. And this is what God said. Now, if we can get to the point where we are not moved by what we see, but we are assured, we are persuaded, and we are convinced by what God said. I'm telling you, people of God, he says, by 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go. Let every man to his place. Hear that. He already assured Gideon that you're going to win this battle with 300 people I'm giving to you. Now, I know the problem looks bigger than you, but you're going to win if you follow the instructions. Come on, you ought to say, I'll have to follow the instructions. And so the Bible says he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, get up, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. Look what he says to Gideon now. God knows your heart. He says, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Pura his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Verse 12, now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley. Look what it says, as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. When Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I had a dream. So, in other words, Gideon went down as the Lord told him that night, and Gideon began to hear and get insight and foresight on what was to come. God was allowing him to hear what was going to happen. He was getting Gideon in the flow. He was getting him in the flow. He was getting him in tune with what was going on. Whenever you are in the flow, whenever your prayer life is consistent, God will not send you into a battle. God will not send you into a fight unaware. He will allow you to be in tune with what is going to happen concerning your life. And so it was, Gideon heard them telling the dream and the interpretation. And the Bible says Gideon worshiped from hearing this. He returned to the camp. He said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midianites into our hands." Look what he did. He divided the 300 men into three companies. Now, here is the thing. God will give you strategy. He will give you strategy, but you got to follow the instructions. The Bible says that Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. God has given you a trumpet that is in your mouth. You've got to begin to speak the word out of your mouth. That is what your trumpet is. Your trumpet is your mouth. You've got to begin to, whatever you've got to do to get to where you're going, you use your mouth. Father, in the name of Jesus, you may have to pray. You may have to stand in the mirror and declare that you are a wonderful God. You may have to wake up every morning and declare that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may have to lay your bills on the altar and begin to speak over your bills. Every bill be paid in the name of Jesus. You may have to lay hands on yourself and declare your body is healed. But it is time now, people of God, that you use your trumpet. Okay, he gave them a trumpet, and the Bible says he gave them torches. He gave them light. You got your mouth. You got your trumpet. Use your trumpet. And then he gave them torches. He gave them light. What is our light? The light has come. Jesus is the light of the world. Come on. The Lord has given you light. The Bible says it this way. Oh, God Almighty, is that, oh, when I can't find my way, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has given you his word, which is your light. So whenever you find yourself in a dark place, use the light. The light is the word of God. Whenever you find yourself in a dark place, you begin to speak the word of God. It is your light and it is your trumpet. You've got to speak the word of the Lord over your situation. You've got to declare the word of the Lord over your issue. Oh, come on, when you go through something, don't lay down and die. Don't give up, but use the word and speak the word concerning your situation. He gave them a trumpet and he gave them a light. And he gave them instruction. He says, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch. When I come to the edge of the camp, you will do as I tell you to do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And so they did what Gideon said. The Bible says, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. The Bible says they blew the trumpets, and when they blew the trumpets, they broke the pitchers. They broke the torches that were in their hands, and then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. The Bible says they begin to cry out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." People of God, tonight, you've got to begin to cry out, "This is the word of the Lord, that I am the lender and not the borrower." You've got to begin to cry out, "This is the word of the Lord, that I am the healed of God." You've got to begin to cry out, people of God, "This is the word of the Lord, that I'm already Gideon. The fight has already been fixed. The Bible says that when they begin to cry out, oh, God, oh, God Almighty, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm in a situation right now that I have got to cry aloud and spare. Now, I'm facing a situation right now that I have to speak the word only. If you got to begin to flip through the pages of your Bible and find the word that pertains to your situation and begin to speak that word every chance you get. If you got to flip through the pages and find the word that will change your situation, you better flip. Oh, God Almighty. I remember, oh, God, I remember, Apostle, being in a situation that I couldn't even articulate the pain that I felt from it. I was in a fight. I was in the fight of my life. Oh, people were talking about me. People were lying on me. Oh, God, sickness had hit my body. My hair was falling out. I couldn't even articulate what I was going through. All I could do was shed a tear. All I could do was cry. And I began to flip through the pages of my words. And I came across Psalm 126, verse 5. And when I came across the scripture, oh, God, help me today. I saw the word that says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When I came across that scripture, oh, God, my spirit began to leap because I found the word that would change my situation. So every day I got up where all I could do was cry. I began to say, but Psalm 126 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I know I'm facing this court situation, but they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I know my hair is falling out of my head, but they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I cried for 6 months straight, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, until one day I looked up, and the Lord had shifted my life. I looked up, and the Lord brought me right on up out of that situation, and I looked at Psalm 126 and 5 again. I said, I see you, oh God, they that sow in tears. I spent 6 months sowing in tears, and guess what now? I'm reaping and joying. Wherever you are tonight, you ought to say, I got my joy back. I'm getting my joy back. You may not be out, oh, but you're coming out tonight. You may not be finished, but you're finishing with that situation tonight, because your pain has an expiration date. Your situation has an expiration date. And although you may have been sowing in tears, you're about to reap in joy tonight. Oh, come on, we are my reapers tonight. Come on, come on, come on. It's harvest time tonight. Hey, yet I say, it's harvest time tonight. You're reaping tonight. And so the Bible says when they begin to cry aloud, they begin to cry aloud and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Watch this. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. Oh, God, the Bible says in 22, when the 300 men blew the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the army fled to Bethakiah towards Zerera as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. In other words, what it's saying is this, that when they begin to cry out the sword of the Lord and in Gideon, and of Gideon, that the Midianites begin to turn their swords on themselves. They turn their swords on themselves. Look here. Gideon never had to fight. Oh, God Almighty. He never had to fight. And God says to tell you guys tonight that the fight has been fixed, baby. This one is a fixed fight because you're going to fight, but you won't have to fight because it's been fixed. when you follow the instructions, your enemy will turn the sword on himself. Oh, God Almighty. The enemy will kill himself because you have followed the instructions of the Lord. The fight has already been fixed. The Bible says that Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites and seize them from their watering places. All the men gathered together and seized them from their watering places. Gideon never had to fight because the fight was already fixed. See, that's why we can't. Looking at this text from the beginning, all we could see was that Gideon had to cut some folk off and leave some folk behind, and all he could have with him was 300 men because God already knew. God already knew that the fight was fixed. All Gideon had to do was obey. People of God, tonight, all you have to do is obey the word of the Lord. And when you obey the word of the Lord, you got to know that the fight is already fixed. The battle has already been won. In fact, you've got to know that this is a sweatless victory, that you're about to win this fight, and you won't have a piece of sweat on your brow. You won't even have to wipe your forehead because this victory, this next win, will be a sweatless, oh God Almighty, will be a sweatless victory. The fight has already been fixed tonight. And I know it looks like, and I'm done tonight, but I know it looks like you may not win tonight. I know it looks like, David, that the giant is bigger than you, God Almighty. I love that text. David and Goliath, where Saul tries to give David his armor to fight that battle. He says, here, take this, use my armor, use this. And David puts it on, and David says, hold on, I'm uncomfortable with this. This is not my armor. Don't you go out trying to fight with another man's armor. Don't you go out trying to speak in another man's tongue. Don't you go out, people of God, trying to pray like another man is praying. Don't you do that. Wear your own armor. God has already equipped you with the things that you need to win this fight. David says, I'm not wearing that. He said, but what I am going to take is what God has given me. That's the attitude you've got to take tonight. What I am going to use for this fight is what God has given me. You don't have to pray with eloquent speech. You don't have to pray like somebody else pray. You don't have to shout like somebody else shout. You don't have to worship like they worship. But what you do have to do is use what God gave you. Come on, you were born for this. David says, I'm going to take my five smooth stones and my slingshot, and I'm going to go ahead to this battle. And what in that text, if you read that text, what David brought was faith. He believed God would do it. Look what David said in that text. If you remember that story, David says when they told him that he wasn't capable of winning, he wasn't capable of fighting because he was too small. Because, see, people around you, those people that you're connected with, they will try to say you don't qualify, you don't have the degree, you're too small, you don't have the resources, you're not smart enough, you're not tall enough, you're not big enough. They try to tell David, you're not equipped for this. David said, wait a minute. He says, I was in a fight before with a lion and a bear. He said, but if God delivered me those times, then surely he will get me through this time. That's the attitude, man of God, woman of God, you've got to take when you go into a fight. Then guess what? I'm not fearful and I'm not afraid, because when I look back over my life, if he brought me through the last time, if he delivered me the last time, then surely, he will bring me out this time. Oh, come on, somebody, wherever you are, you ought to get a flashback to when you used to be. You ought to have a flashback to what you used to be. You ought to have a flashback to how far gone you were. And say, if God delivered me before, surely he will deliver me this time. And so David, he went to battle with what he had. And Goliath said, what is this, a joke? You guys send this little boy to fight me? Is this a joke? And that's what the enemy's saying. Oh, okay, you think you can handle me? You think you can handle me? The enemy think he has a hold on your life? David said, come on with it. And David, he that one stone and slung that one stone on that slingshot. And the Bible says that stone landed in the head of Goliath, and Goliath fell to his face. Your enemy is not strong enough to win against you. You've got God on your side. People of God, not only did Goliath fall, but the Bible says that David cut the head off of Goliath and took the head back. Oh, God Almighty, took the head back to prove to the people that the enemy was dead. Come on, somebody. God is about to give you proof. You're going to go in this fight. You're not even going to have to fight. The victory is going to be sweatless. And God is going to give you proof so that the people will see that it was nobody but the Lord on your side. Come on, God is about to give you proof that the fight was fixed. God is about to give you proof that you won the battle. God is about to give you proof that you stood the test of time. God is about to give you proof that you survived this one. Come on, tell somebody, I survived this one. God is about to give you proof tonight. And so as I close tonight, I just want to remind you that the fight has already been fixed. Don't go in this fight fearful or afraid, because God has already fixed this fight. You've already won. You don't have to lose to win. You're already a winner, because your Father is a winner. And so, Father, we thank you tonight, and we give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. Oh, God, we thank you tonight that the fight has already been fixed, and that this victory will be a sweatless victory, that we'll go in with strength, and we'll come out even stronger. We thank you that we've already won the battle. We thank you that we are healed. We thank you that we are whole, that our minds is strengthened, that our families are blessed. We thank you tonight that our situation has been changed. We decree and declare that things have shifted concerning our life, and those that have sown in tears will reap in joy. We thank you tonight for the fixed fight. We thank you for Gideon and how he followed the instructions of the Lord. Oh, God, teach us how to obey. Teach us how to follow your instructions, that we may win with ease tonight. In the name of Jesus, let us be like David. And no matter how big the situation look, we'll still fight the fight, and we'll come out with proof and with evidence that, God, you did it. And so we love you tonight, and we give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I pray that something was said tonight that has strengthened you and encouraged you, and that you'll leave here understanding that your fight has already been fixed, and that this victory will be a sweatless one, that God already got this. And when God is on your side, you can take it to the bank, already won, and that you have the victory. I love you tonight, and may God richly bless you.
My good God from Zion. Wow. To God be the glory. What a word. If you have been listening to this word on tonight and your heart is not encouraged, my glory be to God. Glory to be to God. It's nothing like a strategy, because you hear all the time that the fight is fixed, but it's nothing like God but to let you know the strategy in which you need to take to make sure, to ensure success at the end of your battle. What a blessing. Thank you so much, Elder Petrina, for such a powerful word from God. Even as you were speaking, I was getting text messages in, and I know people were encouraged by what you were saying on tonight. Please let everyone know how they can sow into your ministry, how they can contact you, how they can follow you and continue to encourage and pray for you as God continues to release you out to do ministry all over this nation.
Praise God. Certainly, people of God, please stay connected with me. I am on Facebook at Now Faith International Ministries, as Now Faith International Ministries. I am also on Instagram and Twitter at Elder Bertrina. Elder Bertrina, so you can stay connected with me there. If you desire to sow, you can do that through PayPal with my email address, and that's blnowfaith@gmail.com. Again, blnowfaith@gmail.com.
Amen, amen, amen. And again, she is on Facebook. You said that as well, didn't you, Elder?
Yes, Facebook at Now Faith yes. International Ministries, or I'm also on Facebook on my personal page at Bertrina Lyons.
Amen, amen. So you all, if you are not following Elder Bertrina, please go out now. Please go out now and begin to follow this ministry. We're going to hear so much more from this woman of God. God is just hitting the iceberg for her. And so, amen, just continue to pray for her and keep her encouraged and push her as God continues to release her. Before we leave off of the line now, Elder, we're going to go ahead and pray for you and encourage you, and then we're going to go ahead and release the call for tonight. But we just want to release a word over you, amen, and seal the blessing of the Lord upon your life, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for the word that came forth on tonight. We bless you for the woman of God. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that no hurt, harm, or danger shall come nigh her or her dwelling. We plead the blood of Jesus over her and her family. We cancel the assignment of the enemy that would attempt to come and distract her because of the power that she has released on tonight. We pray, Father God, that no residual effects shall come nigh her because of what she's released on tonight. We pray a blood hedge of protection around her, and we pray, Father God, that you will continue to cover her. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again, woman of God, we certainly bless you for the word on tonight. We pray that God continues to use you mightily and that you will continue to just walk in the anointing that the Lord has placed over your life. Amen. People say all the time somebody has a unique anointing. Amen. And they say it very generally, but I just want to speak over you, woman of God, that you do have a unique anointing, but the uniqueness comes in the authenticity and what you bring to the people of God, that we can hear the truth in you. We can hear the Spirit of God released out of you, and not through emotionalism, but the heart of God. Amen. Because some people can stir you emotionally, but there's something about when you know somebody has tapped into the heart of God. Amen. And you can feel the heartbeat in your heart. And so I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to hear from you on tonight. And trust and believe, sis, this is not going to be the last time. We want to make sure that you come back again and again. Amen. To continue to encourage the people of God. And we're going to continue to support you and push you as God takes you further on your journey. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Apostle.
Bless you. Bless you. Before we leave, is there anything else you would like to share before I close down on tonight?
I just want to say thank you. Thank you again for having me. And I just want the people that are here tonight to know that I love you and that I'm continuously praying for each of you. And just to stay encouraged, you know, don't quit, don't throw in the towel, that God has not forgotten you and his plans has not changed concerning your life.
Amen. Amen. Take that, guys, and store it in your heart. I say the same thing every week. Don't just get excited that it was a good word. Don't just let it just be a good word, but let it be a God word. Let it be a God word that transforms the way you think, the way you speak, every part of your life. Go and allow this word to minister to you, every part of you. And we just want to invite you, anyone that is listening on the line, if you live in the Richmond, Virginia area and you do not have a church home and you're looking for a place to visit, we want to invite you to A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We meet every Thursday. Every Thursday, as you see here, at 7 p.m., but we also meet at our sanctuary, which is 6209 Lakeside Avenue in Henrico, Virginia, and we gather on Sunday mornings for our Sunday morning worship at 9:30 a.m., again at 6209 Lakeside Avenue. You can go to our website, again, at www.ditrministries.com. There you will find all of the information you'll need. Well, our time is up on tonight. We have been blessed tremendously. But I just want to leave each and every one of you with this thought. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you have experienced in life. I don't know what people have said about you, nor do I know what you even think or say about yourself. But I'm here to let you know, ma'am, I'm here to let you know, sir, that you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace. Thank you for tuning into Ignite. I pray that something was said on today that has provoked you to seek after God the greater, and that you would make a new commitment to your God-given purpose. We would love to hear your testimonies as to how God is igniting your life. Please contact us at www.ditrministries.com and be encouraged. Time and pressure perfects God's purpose for our lives. No matter how rough things may seem on the outside, you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace.